Morning, Cameron, for thanking everyone being out with us this evening. It's always my prayer is what we study is portion of God's word and we be encouraged from it. But you know, I think anytime we get together and study God's word, there's several things that can happen. Either we're pricked in our hearts because something said that triggers us for one reason or another, or we listen to something that we've been having problems with and we think, hey, there's an answer to my problem. I can solve that problem. Or we simply find a way that's interesting. I need to study a little further on that and get a little better idea on that. Anytime we study God's word with an open heart, there's always something that we can get out of it. And for our lesson this evening, we're simply going to title the lesson Guidance. You know, when we raise our children, we understand it from a very young age, infant age, that they need to be guided and taught in the ways of life and the way of God. It's an ongoing thing. As they grow, the guidance they need changes. Soon they reach an age when that need for guidance starts to dwindle. As they reach the age of young adulthood, most of a parent's guidance is over. Most, but not all. They do reach an age that they don't need guidance from parents very much at all. And it is an increasing and then decreasing role that we play as parents in our children, grandchildren's lives. But even after they reach the age that they don't need or don't want much guidance, at times they still seek guidance, and we will always be there to help them however we can. That's just part of the way we're built as human beings, that we will help those that seek our help any way that we can for whatever reason. You know, but for us as Christians, it is pretty much the same. When we're newborn babes in Christ, we need a lot of guidance. And as we grow and get older in understanding of God's word, the less direct guidance we need. The main difference is that as our children grow into adults, they don't need our guidance very much. But yet, if we guided them well growing up, we look forward to them making their own decisions in life. Good or bad, because we understand not everybody's going to make a right decision, and a lot of it is based on experience. But especially as they get older, we look for them to make a decision, then if it's something that didn't work out right, then we try to help solve that problem. You know, but for us as Christians, we will never grow to where we don't need or want God's guidance. As our knowledge in God's word increases, the more we realize just how little we do know and understand of God's word, and just how desperately we still need and want God's guidance in our lives. And for us as Christians or children of God, we need to seek God's guidance at all times in our lives and not lean to our own understanding. Psalms chapter 25, verse 5 simply says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." You know, we have confidence in and trust God's word for our guidance. You know, as Barry talked in the lesson this morning of the validity of the New Testament simply as a document, that it was proven beyond a shadow of doubt to anybody with any common sense, that it was indeed a truthful and faithful book. But especially for us as Christians, we understand that it is the word of God, breathed by God to the disciples and the apostles that wrote down what God was commanded them to write down through the Holy Spirit, bringing things into remembrance. So we can trust in God and his word. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. You know, what better way is it for God to guide us than to lead us in his way and teach us through his word? Psalms chapter 143, verses 5 through 10 says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You know, the guidance we gain from God gives us the courage that we need to face the day and day troubles and trials of life, and all that the days hold for us as we live out in the world. And as this group of verses just talked about here, this is us seeking God for his continual guidance and direction, the one we turn to in times of when we need to seek refuge from the things this world throws at us day by day. The next reading here is the story of God guiding the Israelites from captivity from Egypt to the promised land. And we'll make a couple of comments as we go through this. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 8 says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Now I want us to notice in this group of verses, verse number 6 and then verse number 8. Just as God was, through Moses, was telling the people at that time, don't worry about the things going on around you. Trust in God. Well, this same thing applies to us today. Verse number 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Verse number 8 says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." When we just look at these two verses alone, well, then we understand that there's nothing this life can throw at us that really ought to cause us to fear if we truly trust and worship God. We gain the courage we need living in this world because we have confidence in God and his word. And that's where we can put our trust. Psalms chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, which is the whole chapter of Psalms 3, starts out and says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I wait, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." You know, when we worry about something going on in our lives, something we're planning, maybe happen, maybe not happen, whatever the situation is, how much sleep do we get? You know, most of the time, if we're really worried about something, we don't get much sleep at all. We lay back there in bed and we toss and we turn. We think this outcome, that outcome, whatever the case may be. But look at verse number 5. He says, I laid me down and slept. I wait, for the Lord sustained me. When David put his trust in God, knowing that however many people were after him, when he put his trust in God, then he could lay down and go to sleep and not worry about it. He turned all that worry over to God and let God handle it. Verse number 1 and 2, he says, David says that those that troubled him increased. Many are they that rise up against me. And those said that there was no help from God. But we see David's response. Verse number 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And then it says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. And then he says, God has taken care of all those things. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. So even David, when he felt that there were thousands of people trying to rise up against him and cause him harm, once he turned it over to God, he didn't lose any sleep about it. He trusted God and that God would take care of it. And he went to bed and went to sleep and was fine. He said it didn't make any difference how many people were after him. With God on his side, he wasn't worried about any of it. For us trying to live as Christ-like as possible, we should seek God and trust his guidance in every aspect of our lives. Trust that he knows what's best for us, even though we don't understand it at the time. And we've all been there. We've all had situations in our lives that something happened a certain way, and we look back on it a year or so later, and we think, well, man, I don't know how that worked out, but it sure did. You know, or if we don't turn to God, boy, that didn't work out too good. And we see the effects of whether we turn to God or whether we don't turn to God, to trust him in all the things in guiding our lives. Psalms chapter 33, verse 1 through 5 says, I rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Whether we understand what goes on in our lives or not, the situations we find ourselves in, once we know that we can trust God and we turn those things over to God and we just let him handle it, whatever happens, we trust in God and we know that he'll handle it. And that's where this verse comes in. The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. We don't have to worry about it, you know, looking to God's word and say, well, God's word says such, 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 but I don't see that working in my life that way, because that's not the way God's word works. If he promises something, then we can trust in his promises. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. So when God looks down on us and he sees us facing the trials and troubles of this life, does he see us as someone that trusts in him? Or does he see us as, well, you know, they're striving to be a child of mine, but they haven't given up that self-reliance really well yet. They're still relying on themselves to get through the things life throws at them. Or does he look at us and say, well, hey, these guys trust me. I've helped them through all kinds of situations in their life, and they know they can trust me. That's what God needs to see when he looks down on us, that he knows those that trust in him. And then by that, then we will gain more blessings from God, because he realizes that we trust him in all the aspects of our lives. Part of God's guidance is sometimes not necessarily what we think we need. And quite often that might be the case for some people. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 3 says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You know, do you think these Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and all that that entails was what they felt like? You know, hey, this is in our best interest. You know, we know it's not the case. When they were headed to the Red Sea before the parting of the sea, they were moaning and groaning to Moses. You should have just left us in Egypt. Better us to die in Egypt than to die out here in the wilderness. They knew exactly that, hey, this is not what we want. We don't want this out here. But yet God knew that that's what needed to be happening, whether they believed it or not. It was in their best interest what God was doing for them, and they just needed to sit back and relax and trust God. You know, a special group of verses and psalms are used to humble us a great deal. And every now and then, that's exactly what we need. In this psalm, David acknowledges his complete dependence on God, that he realizes all his being is seen by God. And I didn't ask Steve before services to sing the song, but the first song that Steve led up there on the topic heading under the name of the song, it gives a verse reference. And that verse reference was Psalms chapter 139 and a couple of verses to the end of the chapter. But we're going to read the whole chapter. It's short reading, only 24 verses. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, skip the verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely that will slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, what better? If you didn't get nothing from this lesson tonight, take Psalms 139, print it out, stick it on your refrigerator. And every day when we get to feeling like, hey, I'm a pretty good guy, then read Psalms 139. Because if it doesn't humble you and teach you that God knows everything about our lives, whatever we're doing, whatever we're thinking, whatever we might think later on, God knows. And wherever we go, he says, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I'm in hell, you're there. Everywhere I go, you're there with me. And then verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need that guidance for us as children of God. We need every opportunity that we can get to look to God's word for guidance in this life. If we live strictly on our own two cents of our own thought process in this life, then we're going to be most miserable in life, and we're going to face a lot of things in this life that we shouldn't have to face. Guidance, humbling us, trying us, testing us, all these and many more God uses to temper us, to mold and shape us for his will, for his purpose for our lives. It's not about what Ken wants. It's about what God wants Ken to be about doing in this world. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is one of my favorite verses in scripture as well, that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, how do we renew our strength? By study of God's word. We gain our strength from God's word. So we renew our strength in God's word. And then he says, we shall mount up with wings as eagles. You ever seen an eagle fly? You don't see an eagle around this part of the country, but if you're up in the mountains and you see eagles fly, they're a massive bird, and they go just where they want, as easy as they want. But yet this is one of the wonderful creatures that God has made, and he gives us an example that we might be like that if we wait upon the Lord. They shall run, not be weary. You know how, just run, if I run from the front door to the car, I'm out of breath. They shall run, not be weary. To me, that means the work of the church. That you can be running in the work of the church, but not be weary. And that's what God expects for his children, that we would not be weary in the work of the church. They shall walk and not faint. You know, just trusting God. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6 says, therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Turn to God and wait on God continually. Psalms chapter 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's something that you just can't say enough. When we get into trouble in this life, it's because I'm trying to do something on my own without looking to God's word for an answer for that. And believe me, I speak from experience. When I jump out there on my own and get in trouble, there's nobody to blame but me. And that sets you straight a lot of times. But we are to learn from experience, learn by examples, past things that have happened. Well, hey, the last time I made this stupid decision, well, such and such happened, and I don't want to go through that anymore, so let's look and see what God's word says about this. I have three more verses I want to close with. Psalms chapter 23, verse, the whole chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, you could stop right there with trusting in God and trusting him to be our shepherd. Which, what does a shepherd do? A shepherd feeds the flock. A shepherd guides the flock. A shepherd protects the flock. We are the flock of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Well, why should he have to restore my soul? It's because some of those stupid decisions I make in life. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, that's one of the most fearful things for us as a human being is facing death. You know, we face death with those around us, but yet on our own day when we face death, you know, it's in the back of your mind because it's an unknown. We don't know what's, you know, we can study God's word and we have certain verses that kind of talk about what it's going to be like, but we don't know exactly what's going to be on the other side of death. That's a fearful thing, going something that you don't know. But yet he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God will be there to help us get through that. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We're blessed far greater than what we need in this life. Our cup constantly runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the last verse here, we have two promises. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, what more do we want in this life other than to take as many people with us that we can? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24 says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? You know, if we trust God, let him direct our steps. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not. If we trust in God for guiding our lives and helping us get through the things this life has to throw at us, and we truly trust God's word and the promises God gives us in his word, then we have nothing to fear. Even death, even though it's an unknown, death is unknown, there's no fear in that for us either, because we have the promises that there's something far greater than anything this life has to offer. There's nothing we can compare this life to what heaven awaits for us. We just have to trust God and trust him to take care of us while we live in this world and then when we cross over to the other world. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. Pray some of the things we study are beneficial for you. And again, go back and look at Psalms 139 and put it on your reading list for every week or once a month or something like that, and see if that doesn't help keep you grounded in the faith of being a child of God. I'll leave the lesson with you. If there's something that you want to talk about after the services, something that is said you want to discuss, well, I'll be happy to be here. And if anyone's subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the songs been selected.